Morning, observers. We're starting in a minute. Thank you.
Good morning, members. Good morning, observers. I propose that we start the second day of the sixth ExCom meeting because we have a very busy day today. Just to give you an update on the agenda first, so we will start this morning by discussing the report from the Task Force on Displacement. We'll then try to agree on a date for the next meetings in 2018, and then start the discussion on the report of the ExCom. After the coffee break, we will hear feedback from observers on the five-year rolling work plan. And then this afternoon, after lunch, we will have a session on the clearinghouse for risk transfer and discuss also the launching of the clearinghouse during the COP. So I propose that we start with the first item of the agenda, Task Force on Displacement. You remember that the COP requested the ExCom to establish a task force on displacement and to develop recommendations for as part of this work. The task force held its first meeting earlier this year in May. Idi and Russell served as co-facilitators of the task force. So I would like to ask Russell first and then Idi to report back on progress of the work made to date. Russell, please.
Uh, Thank you, Co-Chair, for the opportunity to report back on the work of the Task Force on Displacement. Good morning, colleagues and observer friends. Nice to see everybody back today in a sort of sunny Germany, so that's nice. Let me start by recalling that the first meeting of the Task Force took place on the 18th and 19th of May, and we did that back-to-back with SB 46. And it was a mammoth input from all the task force members who had spent the last 2 weeks in the 46th session, and so we really were able to bring a lot of ideas and energy to those 2 days. Yeah, so I've got one up there, so you can see on the screen. All the organisations that are represented at the meeting, and we did a bit of an exercise to see where people had experience, and you can see in the map all the regional perspectives that each member brought to the table and their knowledge, policy dialogue, and experience taking action and support. So I think we've got a pretty good coverage of major parts of the world that we're interested in, and I think that was a really important exercise to show just how much expertise was being brought to the task force from the various organisations and XCOM members. Edie and I had the pleasure to co-facilitate the meeting, and we were supported from the XCOM by Cornelia and Pepe, who's not here today. So let me first take the opportunity to thank all of the task force members for their constructive and hard work during that time, and welcome them again today as observers, and if we have some time, open to having our observers give their sense of the meeting. As you may recall, the purpose of the meeting was to develop the work plan of the task force to deliver its mandate, which was to develop recommendations for integrated approaches to avert, minimise and address displacement related to the adverse impacts of climate change by COP24. Slide two, thanks. The meeting was very interactive and covered a variety of topics, which you can see displayed on the screen. So I won't go through them, but if we just take a minute to look at those. We're very focused on target audiences, the activities, who are the lead agencies, what's the process for developing and sharing the outcomes, and what are the events and processes between now and November 2018 where we will use those existing processes to gain information and talk about the task force. And you can see us all there very actively using whiteboards. So for further details on the meeting and on the activities we came up with, you can find the summary of the proceedings on the Task Force webpage, as well as the XCOM 6 meeting page. Slide 3 here, we have the work plan of the Task Force displayed. I hope you guys can read that. It's pretty detailed, but I think everybody has a hard copy. The work plan was endorsed by the XCOM intersectionally, and we'd sent it out to the XCOM members and the task force in order to get started on the work. As you can see, the work plan contains activities for 4 broad areas: policy and practice at a national and subnational level, policy and practice at an international and regional level, collection of data and assessment of that information, and framing and linkages. We have also indicated a lead or co-lead organisation for each activity, and the implementation timeframe for the activities up to March 2018. After that, we'll be undertaking technical work, consultation, and then we're planning in May 2018 to have a wider consultation with relevant stakeholders on those outcomes, and I think that is being organised in Geneva. Now I'd like to hand over to Edie to talk about some of the implementation updates that we've received from the members of the task force.
Good morning, colleagues. Oh, thank you, Russell, for the first introduction of the report. Our first meeting was held in Bonn, back-to-back with the SB 46. After this work, we were creating some groups of work, and the organization who was leading those groups made some reports to the task force. And on activities which is led by IOM, or co-leaded by IOM, this is on activity one. The International Organization for Migration is leading three activities as displayed on the screen. A detailed update on this and other activities are available on the online, the task force pages. I will also summarize only a few updates for these activities here. I am worked on mapping existing national policy and international framework related to climate migration, analyze good practices and gaps, and encourage dialogue among relevant national entities. I am also has been supporting the integration of climate migration and at the national and regional level during the consultation phases of the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration. So the PDD, the Platform on Disaster Displacement, is leading or co-leading two activities displayed on the screen. The PDD reports that required resources have been allocated within their organization for undertaking both activities, and that there are plans in place to their delivery. Slide 6, please. So the advisory group on climate change and human mobility is leading or co-leading four activities as displayed in the screen. So in summary, they have convened consultative calls with the civil society members on the advisory group on human mobility and agreed on the process for undertaking activity 1 and 2. Synthesizing the state of knowledge on displacement in the context of climate change. Secondly, continued their engagement on developing common standard for collecting and analyzing displacement statistics, also in the context of slow onset disaster and climate change. So, kicking off the third point, a research study to explore methodologies to assess the economic impact of displacement, starting with displacement in the context of sudden onset disasters. So we also receive a report from the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Society also share some updates on their ongoing activity with relevant to the displacement, including relevant knowledge, products developed, and events organized. So let me thank to the task force members from IOM, Platform Disaster Displacement Advisory Group, and the International Federation of Red Cross and Crescent Red Society for providing update on the progress of work in timeline manner. So finally, I would like to introduce the brochure of task force with the secretariat, which the secretariat developed. It contains factual information about the task force and will serve as an accurate source of reference and outreach material. So there are some hard copy available to document on the table in the room. We also put a poster in front of the room which contain the same information as the brochure. Should you have any question regarding the work of the task force to date, please do not hesitate to speak to the member of the task force over the coffee in the room. As observer, we have three members, Dina, Atley, and Bina. They are also in the room. And I think there's Donna from Federation Red Cross and Christian Red. I think it's okay. Yeah. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Edie. Thank you very much, Russell. I would like also to thank all members of the task force from the XCOM and from the observers for their involvement. I would like to invite all of you to have a look at the brochure, at the posters also outside. My co-chair and I would like to propose that the XCOM takes note of the efforts of the task force to date, and we look forward to receive draft recommendations in the later part of 2018 in line with the work plan of the task force. But I would like to open the floor first for XCOM members in case there are any questions or remarks. Are there any observers that would like to take the floor at this point? Yes, please, Sven.
Good morning, thank you very much. Thank you very much for this overview, and it's very good to see the work of the task force started. I have a question in relation to the work plan and the outcomes of that. So I see there's a lot of mapping and synthesizing of information, which is probably very important to lay a good basis, and also some of the linkages with the other policy processes. But from the work plan, it's not really clear to me how to get from the mapping to real recommendations, including in relation to the three different functions of the Warsaw Mechanism, and also with regard to aspects about good practice, legal policy and institutional challenges, lessons learned, etc. So if that could be, I think it would be helpful if this line between the mapping and then getting to the recommendations on the basis of lessons learned, etc., could be clarified. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, IEOM, please.
Good morning, everyone. Marine from UNHCR. I think we didn't send to our inputs in advance on how we implement the work plan, and sorry about that. I just wanted to let you know that UNHCR leads on activity 2.4 on mapping of existing international regional guidance tools on averting, minimizing, and addressing displacement and durable solutions. And on the way we will implement this activity, we would like to include a section on first draft recommendations after this mapping, and I hope, I mean, that's the way others will also implement their activities to ensure we already have a set of draft recommendations coming up with the mapping reports.
Thank you very much. Russell, would you like to reply to some of the questions or ED that were raised?
The one question. I mean, I think it's a really good idea, and it's something that we definitely talked about at the task force meeting. And I guess it's hard to reflect all of that in one page, but I mean, that was certainly the discussion, and the intention was that there's definitely a lot of capturing of information, but that the workshop that we're planning in May next year, the idea is that's the sort of the start of that pulling together, okay, here's the information, and what is the policy, legal, institutional issues, and how do you start taking that to recommendations? So I do think, I mean, it's a very good question, and I think in my mind that is a big part of what the May workshop really should be focused on in terms of taking the knowledge and doing something with it. But
thank you, Russell. ActionAid, please.
Thank you. This indeed looks like a very good plan. The question I have is in terms of process, how some of these processes that we are talking about in terms of mapping and data collection, how civil society organizations and governments are going to be involved. So what's the process? Is it going to be submission, or they'll be invited to workshops, or so what process? Or there are existing reports that can be contributed to inform some of these activities. So what process you have in mind to engage larger civil society and even local governments?
It's a mix, yeah. Thanks. I mean, I think so two things. I mean, one, the civil society representative. Sorry, I'll just talk here. Sorry, I'm not back. So the civil society group is meant to be the sort of focal point for civil society. So I guess the broader civil society is meant to be engaged by that civil society member of the task force. So that's one way of engaging. And then this May workshop that is to be organised, the idea is that it is a broader forum to engage stakeholders beyond the task force. So those are sort of the two ways of getting in the broader civil society input into the work.
Thank you, Hussein.
Any chance of submitting reports and written inputs before the workshop? Are you planning for such opening?
Sure. I think, I mean, it's not something that was discussed. I think it's probably a good idea to put out to the task force and the organisers of that workshop to see if we want to take papers beforehand that would feed into it. I mean, it's not a bad idea. I think it's more about how we take those submissions and do something useful with them to feed into the workshop. But I think it's a question that we can put out to the task force.
Thank you. Platform on disaster displacement.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. And if I may, since the Platform on Disaster Displacement, together with IOM, is listed as responsible for that workshop in May. And the methodology or the thinking about that workshop was exactly to create a broader platform and opportunities for these kind of feedback. So we will start a process, and we will try to reach out and make sure that there are all perspectives included. And I'm thinking both at levels, local, national, regional, but also thematic. Within the mandate of my capacity as Task Force on Displacement member, we will make sure that that process is wide and that we come together in Geneva in May with as much information as possible. I also want to mention that the Platform on Displacement has an advisory committee with over 100 members. And we have our annual meeting later in October, and we will have a dedicated session on the Task Force on Displacement. So we will also start a process of compiling input. And I'm very pleased that ActionAid, you are a member of our advisory committee. So to, again, within the limits of our mandate, we can receive all the inputs. And then we will, of course, bring that to the attention of the task force itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Atle. So we come back to XCOM with a question from Erling. Erling.
Yes,
As some of you or many of you might be aware of, there is a intergovernmental process going on called the Global Compact for Migration, which is probably the main process on many of these issues. And I just wonder how or if there has been any thinking in the task force on how to connect to that process, because there will be an intergovernmental conference connected to the UN General Assembly in 2018. And there's a lot of work going on as preparation for that conference. So I wonder, I don't see, you know, in a way how these processes will be connected, whether this work that the task force is doing will kind of feed into that process. So if there's been any thinking or discussion on that, it would be interesting to know. Thank you.
Thank you, Erling. I think it's part of activity two of the task force, but Russell, maybe you would like to.
Yeah, so I mean, one of the activities we did in May was a mapping of sort of upcoming events and sort of connection points, and the compact was definitely one of the major focus areas, and I think IOM is being that sort of joint point. Did you want to say something about that?
Thank you. On the question of a global compact, I mean, first of all, in different meetings, preparatory meetings, the work of the task force has been discussed, raised, and referenced. So I think it's very important to be aware of that, that there are quite a few people working on the compact who are waiting for the outcomes of the work of the task force with and really expecting to make use of these outcomes. But anyway, the point of the compact, one of the ambition, of course, is to anticipate and manage large-scale migration movements. Hopefully, that will include movements linked to climate change. So, of course, the recommendation of the task force, which is precisely about averting and minimizing displacement in the context of climate change, it will really be helpful to the states negotiating the compact to have an idea of where to start. At least that's something that I was thinking about. It will give them a clue of how to get prepared, and I think the work of the task force will be very important for that. Do you want to add something, Adla?
Thank you, IOM. If at this stage there are no further questions, or Climate Action Network.
Yes, excuse me for coming back. I think that was a very important point which just came up, and I wonder how we manage the sequencing, because I mean, technically the recommendations to the XCOM will probably be there sometime later next year, and I assume that most of the conclusions on the global compact on migration will be ready, I don't know, by June or something. So if there could be a way of at least working with some preliminary recommendation from that May workshop, I mean, also technically and officially working with that to input into the process on the this migration compact, that would probably be very important, so that we are managing some of the sequence. And maybe the XCOM needs to take a decision on that somehow. I don't know, but
UNHCR, please.
Thank you very much. I just also wanted to highlight the other big process that is in parallel of the GCM, which is the elaboration of the Global Compact on Refugee and the Comprehensive Refugee Response Framework. Last June, we organized a consultation with NGOs at UNHCR on this issue and on a special session focusing on climate change as the root cause of large displacement movements. And also looking at the issue of returnability into a land that is not habitable anymore, etc. So I also encourage considering this this framework as an important policy framework for this issue. And there are a lot of opportunities coming up for this policy framework. We are conducting the informal consultations in November and October, where, for example, there will be a special session on how we can address root causes of large movements, including climate change. So there's also an opportunity to engage there.
Thank you, UNHCR. Erling?
Now, I was just back to Sven's question about the sequencing here. The workshop will be in May. We will have an ExCom meeting in September next year, probably, but it's going to be very tight. I mean, to get anything approved in ExCom in September to get into the intergovernmental conference, which is 23 and 24 of September. So it's going to be tight. But I think we have to consider this a bit further.
IOM, please.
I mean, indeed, the question of sequencing and the time constraint is something we need to keep in mind, but I'm hoping that the task force meeting in May could maybe also already be an opportunity to reach out formally or informally to the compact teams. And beyond the actual negotiation period, we have to also think about what will happen at the follow-up of a compact, which will coincide with the follow-up of a task force work. So there might be also a lot of connections to be made even after September 2018. But I'm quite confident that we can manage to bring the work of the task force to the GCM to an extent before September.
Thank you. I am ActionNet, please.
Sorry for coming back again. In terms of the process, you know, like we heard from PDD also that they have already thought about the detailed process. This is just one-page action plan. Probably we also it would be useful to have a detailed work plan which outlines the process, tools, and detailed timeline. And the reason I'm saying tools because we are talking about mapping of existing policies, so how it's going to happen, what kind of tools or methodology that's going to be used. Is it going to be a consultant working, or it's going to be workshops, or, again, submissions at the lead level? So probably if all the leads who have been identified for different set of activities, if they can share the detailed work plan, that will be helpful for the broader group to understand where they can pitch in and provide inputs. So, yeah, I think that is not there yet.
Thank you, ActionNet. Erling, you would like to take the floor again?
Yes, just a question. I understand that the Intergovernmental Conference will have 8 plenaries. But the precise modalities of the conference will be decided in January 2018. But are there any thinking of having one plenary on climate change and migration? Is there anyone who knows, or is that one of the potential plenaries?
Maybe IOM can.
I must say I do not know, but I'm assuming that will be something at least on the drivers of migration, because that was the overall frame under which climate change was considered. So most likely there will be something related to the drivers, and climate change and natural disasters are two of his main drivers that have been identified.
platform on disaster displacement.
Thank you, and I just wanted to provide some information on the process leading to the adoption of the Global Compact for Migration, because I think it's important to understand that there is a consultative process coming to an end. And between 4th and the 6th of December in Mexico, there will be a stocktaking of that consultative process. So there is one door that is quickly approaching, or one door is being closed in terms of that consultative process. So I think it would be important to recognize that this is the moment, either through individual delegations or through agencies, to provide input to that stock-taking exercise in early December. Secondly, the special representative of the Secretary General on International Migration, Mrs. Louise Arbour, is preparing a report of the Secretary General to the conference. And that is also an ongoing process. And there has been an invitation to all states and international organizations to provide input to that report. And that's another window that is quickly being closed. So until the end of the year, there are several opportunities to provide technical inputs and comments. Come 1st of January 2018, the negotiation starts. And then I think, at least from this side, it should the modality will then change in terms of input. So I just wanted to share this. Thank you.
Thank you, PDD. Erling, you don't want to... IOM, please.
Just very quickly on that window of opportunities that you mentioned that is closing, which is the consultative process. Still, it's important to note that the task force has been referenced, for instance, by IOM. In our inputs to the report of the SRSG, we have clearly stated that the task force is one of the key process that the Global Compact should be seeking synergies with. And also during the different national consultations in various countries, I'm thinking here about Azerbaijan or Mauritius and Madagascar, because I attended these consultations. So there were knowledge about the work of the task force there. So even though that window of opportunities is closing, it hasn't been lost.
Thank you. Russell, please.
Thank you for the information on the timeframes. I guess also just to flag that, you know, we do rely on the task force members who are sort of engaged in this process as well as the compact, both compacts, to sort of help be that join. And also, and if I put my party hat on for a second, that, you know, for parties, you know, in Australia is definitely now briefing and feedback to those reports and in those consultations, also talking about the task force on displacement and the need to sort of make those connections. So I think it is definitely a big consultation process that's going on, and many opportunities to sort of continue to engage in that, both from parties as well as external organisations' point of view, and it's just about continuing to keep that engagement. My sense about the May workshop is that there would be some sort of report out, some sort of summary of, not some sort of recommendations, but sort of key issues, or something like that was we talked about. So that's another opportunity to sort of bring out key issues that would influence the September meeting. I mean, I do think, Erling, you're right, that if the the task force recommendations are to August. It depends on when XCOM will be in September to see if there's any formal way of getting sort of formal XCOM recommendations to that September meeting. We could talk about doing it out of session, again, but it really depends on when the task force recommendations are finalised and whether XCOM members are comfortable with doing it out of session instead of being here and having a conversation with first. So, I mean, I think there's something for us to think about at that time, and it really depends on when the XCOM meeting is set for September. Once we have that date, we'll be in a better position, I think, to make that about that call about how we might use the opportunity.
Thank you, Russell. So I would like again to thank all members of the task force, all observers for their engagement. I think there are also many opportunities for engagement in the coming months. So XCOM is looking forward to the mapping report that will be prepared and to the workshop that will take place in May. I think we'll also have another report on the task force work during the March meeting. And then it's a good transition to the next point that I will hand over to my co-chair in order for us to agree on a date and venue of the next meetings. Arvid.
Thank you, co-chair. Morning again, colleagues and friends. We look at agenda item 8, which has to do with the date and venue of the next meeting. If you recall, the COP by its decision 2CP20 decided that the XCOM shall meet at least twice per year while retaining its flexibility to adjust the number of meetings as appropriate. Yesterday, we requested members to provide their absolute blackout dates for two blocks of periods in March and September and to send these to the Secretariat. I can report that as things stand now, with the exception of one member of the XCOM who hasn't indicated yet, we are looking at likely date of around the week of the 12th of April, and for XCOM 8, around the week of the 17th of September. So you can make a note of that in your diary at the moment. So indicative weeks, week of the 12th of April, and the week of the 17th of September. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's right. At this point, are there any objections on these proposed dates?
Just to clarify, 12th of April is a Thursday. So it's week 15.
You want you to turn off your mic so he can respond.
Oh, thanks. I was asking if I could have it now. My mistake. It's a week of the 12th of March. Apologies. 12th of March. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, co-chair. That stopped my rant about having to fly back within a week for 24 hours.
Are there any objections from members on those proposed dates?
Can you repeat, Chair? Which week on September?
The week of the 17th of September. Hearing no objections, I'm going to go ahead and lock these dates in. Recognizing climate justice program.
Thank you, co-chair, and good morning, colleagues. It seems like a timely opportunity to note that from the Climate Action Network's perspective, two meetings a year for the body that is dealing with, you know, the worst impacts of climate change on the most vulnerable people, that has a huge work program and a great deal of responsibility, that two meetings a year does not meet that need, and that we feel that the XCOM should note that at this point and go to the upcoming COP with a note that the current budget for the XCOM is insufficient for the mandate that it has, and that you need to meet far more than two times a year and have more budget at your disposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Climate Justice. We will take a note of that recommendation. Thank you. Moving on to the next agenda item. So turning to agenda item 7, report of the Executive Committee to the Conference of the Parties. We will recall that the COP by decision 2CP19 requested the XCOM to report annually to the COP through the subsidiary bodies and make recommendations as appropriate. Due to the late timing of XCOM 6, XCOM 5 agreed to issue its annual report in two parts this year. The first part, which contains a progress of the work of the XCOM between October 2016 and August 2017, was issued on the 24th of August 2017 in order to comply with the deadline for official documents for the translation for COP23. The second part will need to be issued more or less immediately after XCOM 6. So we are against the clock in getting out the second part of our report. The second part of the report is to agree on a set of recommendations to the COP. So that essentially, as you can see from the agenda, takes up the bulk of what we need to have final agreements on tomorrow. Note that there are two other agenda items that are closely related to the development of the recommendations, namely agenda item 4, recommendations to improve knowledge and capacity to address slow onset events and their impacts in the context of activity D of action area 3 of the initial 2-year work plan of the XCOM. I believe this one was agreed yesterday, and we will consider taking up those actions in terms of the actioning of the 5-year work plan. And I believe that is reflected in the draft work plan that's already shared. The other related item is agenda item 5, activities for the 5-year rolling work plan of the Executive Committee. And as members and friends would note, we have been working rather long and hard on trying to finalize and come up with the recommendations associated with this agenda item. And we still have a bit of work to do today to ensure that we can have those ready for tomorrow. So at this point, we propose that any recommendations resulting from discussions on item 5 be considered by the XCOM, and any recommendations resulting from discussions on the other agenda items be also considered. So I'm inviting members to have a short plenary discussion on any additional recommendations to be included in the report. So I'm opening the floor to members for recommendations resulting from discussions under other agenda items for consideration. Dawn.
Thanks, Co-Chair. Just for some clarity, I know that we did send in recommendations
to the secretariat as requested, so I'm assuming various members sent, but we haven't seen the consolidated document, so it would be hard to know what is additional, unless I'm missing something. Sorry.
Let me see if I can provide the clarity that's requested. What we're asking for is for members to provide any recommendations resulting from discussions on any other agenda items. We note that information has been shared, but I don't believe that information has been shared with all members as per previous request. So in that respect, members can feel free to raise those recommendations for the benefit of all. I trust this helps. Dawn?
So is the, just for further clarity, we're trying to get clarity in this corner. Several of us are still not very clear. Is it that each of us should go through all the recommendations we submitted? Is that what is being asked?
Okay. There are some recommendations that have been shared with the co-chairs and the secretariat. What I'm saying is that per previous request, it was to be shared with the co-chair and the secretariat copied to all members, but I'm saying that that was not done, so the other members are not aware of what these recommendations are. And as such, the request is for the members who made the recommendations to put them forward for the benefit of all members. I trust that clarifies everything. Thanks.
the members around me are suggesting that I simply forward the email to everyone. Or does that work for you? Or would you? If not, I'm happy to go through each one.
It's not for me. It's for the members to decide on how they want to treat this. We're making the space available to do so, but if the members wish just to circulate it first among themselves before taking it on the floor, then that's up to the members. I'm in your hands. Thanks. Don?
Thanks. I'm also encouraging any other members who made submissions as well to please circulate that to the group. Thanks, because I didn't receive any either. Thanks.
Still need a floor, Don? I take it that members are requesting time to look at the recommendations that are being shared before tabling on the floor. Is that the view of the members? I'm seeing nodding around the room. Okay. I will also make one other proposal while members are doing their sharing. From the co-chair's perspective, bearing in mind the timing issues that we have in trying to get everything pulled together as quickly as possible, we are proposing that XCOM give the mandate to the co-chairs to prepare draft bullet points on possible recommendations based on any this further discussions and or recommendations provided to us and present to the XCOM in a further slot. Are there any objections to that approach?
I think it's an excellent idea.
To the members that had made their proposals, while you're sharing with the rest of your colleagues, being that you had already shared those with us, should we go ahead on the premise that we can also look at those recommendations and incorporate those in draft bullet points for possible recommendations and discussion in plenary? Cornelia, you seem a bit confused. Okay, I'm saying that the recommendations that were shared with us, being that those weren't shared, I'd ask for those now to be shared with all members so everybody could see what's there. In the interest of time, I'm also suggesting that members give us the mandate to go ahead along with any new recommendations that are coming forward or any that we, based on the work so far, wish to propose that we go ahead and prepare draft bullet points on possible recommendations for consideration in another slot. And I'm asking members if that is okay with them. Adao?
Thank you, Co-Chair, and good morning, colleagues and observers. I think this is a good way forward, but we also need to submit our recommendations later on, like you asked the others before. But you can also consult with the secretariats to come up with the key bullet points, as you said.
On that note, I am imploring members to share any recommendations they may have as a matter of urgency so that we can make those, we can draft those bullet points and have that discussion. Time is a big factor for us. Thank you. Krishna?
Thank you, Co-Chair. I'm a bit confused. Can we have, once again, what has been prepared as a draft recommendation so that going through that we can think of anything new comes up? Otherwise, it will be simply a repetition of what has been already done. I don't have the recommendation in my screen. Thank you.
Okay. Let me see if I can break this down into maybe as simple a form as I possibly can. We have no recommendations on the floor. What we have are recommendations provided by a few members that have not yet been shared and with the membership. So What we had requested was for those persons to share those recommendations with the members, and we had also asked whether or not those persons were willing, having shared it, to table those on the floor as recommendations. Because we did not receive any response in that regard, we proposed that the co-chairs be given the mandate to take those recommendations that have been shared with the full membership, along with any other recommendations that we have received to date and any recommendations that the co-chairs themselves deem suitable, and put those together in draft bullet points to be shared with the membership. And we will have to create maybe a slot early this afternoon or something to try and somewhere to at least table them for discussion. I trust that's as clear as day. Thanks. Dawn.
Thank you, Co-Chair. As clear as this bright new day. So I'm endorsing that recommendation. It would be really useful if they were all in one place so we could consider in one block. Thank you.
Adele.
Thank you, Kotzer. I think one of the critical recommendations will be issues around the improvement of knowledge and capacity to address slow-onset event. We may recommend to observers or related organizations to at least provide data and share with us. If it's possible, they can also make presentation in a COP site event or our site event at the COP. It will be also useful to enhance or at least enrich our understanding on slow ocean event. It's a agenda item 4.
Thank you, Adele, and I would humbly request if you could also send that to us in writing so that we have the full context to take it up. But so that's at least one recommendation that has been put on the floor. Antonio?
Good morning, colleagues, dear observers, Mr. Co-Chair. I think that one important recommendation should come from the lessons learned from the 2 years initial work plan that we've been developing in the last 2 years. And I link this with something that arise from one of the observers a little earlier. Regarding the time we have available to carry out all the tasks that we have now in front of us, with the draft of the five-year rolling work plan so far. Are two meetings enough to do our best to ensure that vulnerable communities, ecosystems are really addressed as they deserve from us, from the UNFCCC, and together with that, a recommendation of budget to carry out all what we are supposed to release, prepare. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonio. Are there any other recommendations from the members that would want a table on the floor? Dawn.
Thanks. I do have several recommendations, but as I indicated, I would prefer to have it all in one block so we could discuss. So I was not planning to table them now. Thanks.
That's what I agreed. It's just that two members just decided to table things on the floor, so we're taking notes of those. As I said, since everybody wants to look at the entire block, we just want the list so that we can then know how to go about. The next thing is... All right, thank you. So we've been doing a little bit of deliberation now that we have had to retweak the approach with respect to the recommendations. So we will look at what has been sent. We will consider those that have also been tabled on the floor, along with any others that the co-chairs wish to propose. And we will likely take up those in probably one of the earliest slot tomorrow morning with a view to agreeing on those recommendations. And pretty much it would still be in line with our agenda, because as you can see, Friday has been reserved as a decision-making day. So if that approach is okay with the members, then what we will do is take a quick 15-minute break, and then we will return and then have that session to deal with the development of activities for the 5-year rolling work plan in respect of the views of the observers. I see climate action.
Yeah, thank you very much. I would like to use that opportunity briefly before we go into the coffee break to, on the one hand, outline my expectations also for the session after the coffee break, but maybe you can also give us some guidance on how you intend to run it. I think, of course, it's a very important opportunity to also make our contributions to the 5-year work plan. And I think I have two expectations for the session. On the one hand, that you are able to listen on some of the points that we have developed and are supposing. But I would also expect that we see a discussion and engagement happening on that. I think it would be very unfortunate if things are presented and then maybe the XCOM is only taking it up in the closed session in the afternoon. We haven't heard any deliberations here in that meeting with observers on board on the 5-year work plan. Of course, we've seen the latest draft. We don't really know how it came to that draft. And so I would like really to express my expectation that we see an open discussion here and also understand some of the maybe different perspectives within the XCOM on the state of play on the 5-year work plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Climate Action. Russell?
Thanks, Co-Chair. On your point about the bringing all the list of things together, if it's possible for the Secretariat to be able to give us something this afternoon so we can take home with us overnight, that would be good, so we're not seeing it fresh in the morning, but we actually have a chance to look at it and sort of see what's there and then come up with any additional proposals as well overnight. So it's just in terms of timing, so we've got a little bit of time. That's
noted, Russell. We'll get back to you on that.